Today on the show, from Savage Love, Dan Savage, narrating an episode novelized by The Onion's Chris Karowski, plus Courtney Peruso. It's The Novelizers. Welcome to a very sexy version of The Novelizers. For those of you just tuning in, this is a podcast where we take classic films, then get a different comedy writer from shows like SNL, The Daily Show, Colbert, and more to novelize them, turning them into a hilarious audiobook. Then we get a different celebrity to narrate each one. This season on The Novelizers, we're tackling a film that introduced leather to a whole new generation, The Matrix. I'm Christine Bullen, here with Stephen Levinson and Kevin Carter. Kevin, catch us up on the story so far.
So Neo's meeting Morpheus for the first time, and Morpheus starts to explain what the Matrix is and let Neo know that he is a prisoner of the mind, and then he brings out the pills. There's a blue pill that says he'd go back to his life, doesn't remember anything, and then the red pill, he learns about the Matrix. Of course he takes the red pill, because if he doesn't, there's no movie. So they strap Neo down, and he starts seeing and feeling things like very weird with his body, and then it all turns to liquid as the liquid goes down his throat.
Thanks, Kevin. And let's just say that there are people out there that like this podcast and want to keep it going. Stephen, how can they help us?
I am so glad you asked. We are a totally writer-led indie podcast, and we can't do this alone. But by going to patreon.com, searching for The Novelizers, and pitching in a buck, maybe five, you can keep this show on the air where it belongs and help turn your favorite movies into funny audiobooks where they belong.
So just do it, you know? Today's chapter was novelized by Chris Karowski, a former writer and editor of The Onion and host of Show and Sell on YouTube. It was narrated by Dan Savage, who revolutionized sex advice with his column and podcast Savage Love and created the It Gets Better project. Dan Savage, novelize us.
Chapter 7, The Awakening. Novelized by Chris Karowski, narrated by Dan Savage. Shit, not again. Mr. Thomas Tommy Anderson, known as Mr. Anderson to his enemies, was very confused. The thick goo, the tentacles, why was he back in Japan? Mr. Anderson heaved himself out of the thick liquid and removed a feeding tube from his nose and mouth. Confused, he touched the goo with his fingertips. Had Misako-san changed the recipe for the seaweed massage gel? Didn't he promise himself not to go back to Japan? His last trip got a little intense. Not everyone knows about the Japanese erotic massage art form of Nuvaru. Heck, a year ago, Mr. Anderson hadn't known about it either, but now he couldn't stop thinking about it. Getting a massage, erotic or otherwise, seemed a bit tame. Thus, his first Nuvaru massage was a bit of an accident, a lark. In retrospect, it felt like destiny. The curious Mr. Anderson had been led to a back room by a slim, beautiful Japanese woman. She removed his clothes, stripped herself down to a small bikini, and then led him to a shower to clean himself. Well, she actually did most of the cleaning for him, wink. Afterward, he was led to an inflatable mattress, and there the masseuse covered both their bodies in the thick, slippery goo. She then used her entire body to massage him. Mr. Anderson wasn't a prude. He had done his share of sexual experimentation. He was handsome, single, had a good job. Why not see what pleasure he could find in the world? He was a respectful, inventive partner with a little twinkle of mischief in his eyes that the ladies and a couple of lucky fellas in the kink community couldn't get enough of. He had tried many things and pushed many boundaries, but this Nuvaru massage, it was like his soul had finally come alive. When he received a massage, his spirit seemed to glow a bright yellow. The feeling was even better than the orgasm you get after being caged and teased for a month by a deliciously cruel femdom partner. Sure, he did the normal Japanese tourist stuff during the day, if going to a teacup pig cafe is normal, but every evening he treated himself to at least two Nuvaru massages. He returned home a spent man, both financially and sexually. The once insatiable Mr. Anderson had somehow been sated. Mr. Anderson looked around, but the effort was painful. It was as if someone had a laser pointer blasting into his eyes, and feral cats were trying to dig through the orbs to get to the tasty retinas underneath. He could make out what looked like a goth high-rise with LED light effects. Why didn't his eyes work? Mr. Anderson touched his head gingerly. Was he bald? What the heck, Japan? Not far away, DocBot 4788, known as DocBot 4788 to his friends, floated back and forth angrily. He had just downloaded the news that he had been passed over for a goddamn promotion again. Fuck those cyber donkeys. DocBot 4788 was 2 years old and his career plans were already falling apart. His wife, Sentinel 503, would not take the news well. She wanted new tentacles. He had promised her new tentacles. Well, no one was getting new tentacles anytime soon. DocBot 4788 had hoped to be in charge of covering the human baby batteries with black ooze by now. That place was well lit and clean, not like this dim, depressing cave. DocBot 5011 bobbled in, cocky as usual. He paused and said, "Oh, hey, DocBot 4788, what's up?" DocBot 4788 grunted. "I just wanted to say I'm sorry," said DocBot 5011. "Ha," scoffed DocBot 4788. "Sorry for taking the promotion that I had told you I desperately needed? Apology not accepted." DocBot 5011 seemed confused. "Oh, that? No, I meant me and Sentinel 503. The pause was mathematically calculated to be as awkward as possible. "She didn't tell you?" "What?" seethed DocBot 4788, turning angrily towards DocBot 5011. Fury exploded inside him. He was pretty sure he threw a punch, but the next thing DocBot 4788 knew, he was the one on the ground, knocked senseless. "Sorry, man, it is not personal," said DocBot 5011, floating over him, a mixture of pity and disgust in his vocalizer. "Sentinel 503 hasn't been happy in a long time." He floated toward the exit. "I thought you knew." DocBot 4788 stared at the ceiling, his processor unable to take it all in. "Suck my robot balls," he murmured to no one in particular. A second later, he got the download from Sentinel 503 explaining in great and excruciating detail the many defects of character that led to her leaving him for the dipshit fuckbot who was now his boss. He turned it off. He could listen to it later. He got another download. DocBot 4788 sighed deeply. "What now?" Thankfully, it wasn't Sentinel 503 remembering even more of his flaws. Unfortunately, it was his repair technician with some bad news. "Gear cancer," said the tech. "If we had caught it earlier, then maybe..." He cut that transmission short, too. A light on the pod board flashed. A human had woken up. "Perfect," said DocBot 4788 grimly. He could process his cyber emotions later. Time to work. Meanwhile, a confused Mr. Anderson felt around his body. Someone had not only shaved his head, they had shaved everything. He didn't seem to have a single hair on his smooth, athletic body. Not a tragedy, considering it would make wearing latex a bit easier, but doing it without consent was a kink foul of the highest order. He was now pretty sure he wasn't in Japan. He felt around. There was clearly a cable attached to the back of his head. He explored some more. Weird, no tube attached to his ding-dong. He clutched his glutes, nothing in his whoopsie tube either. How long had I been in this pod, thought Mr. Anderson? Hours, days, years, his whole life? Had he been floating in his own filth for God knows how long? What kind of sick son of a ranch hand does this? His brain started to clear. He now regretted meeting those Bondage Gear Club hounds under that rainy bridge. Sure, they looked like the kind of newbies you'd meet at KinkCon, trying too hard but generally harmless. However, they could have given a fellow freak a heads up that he'd wake up naked in goo. A little warning would have helped. Same about touching the mirror after taking the red pill. He literally almost had a heart attack. Without warning, an insect-like robot dropped down in front of him. Mr. Anderson couldn't say why, but this robot somehow seemed really pissed off. Did Misako-san send it to collect his rather exorbitant bill? This felt personal. With inhuman swiftness, the robot grabbed Mr. Anderson by the throat and lifted him out of the goo. Again, something he wasn't against, but consent is crucial. Plus, it really felt like the robot was taking something out of him. Not cool, Dombot. Still, his penis was extremely hard when exposed to the cool, humid air. The body likes what it likes. The erection quickly subsided as the tubes in his arms and legs flew off angrily. The robot unscrewed the cable at the back of his head. It glared at him one last time and then flushed him and the contents of the pod down a tube. If it wasn't so confusing, Mr. Anderson might have enjoyed the long nude slide more. It reminded him a bit of the adults-only carnival in Abu Dhabi. Man, that place was great. Expensive, but great. A rock-hard Mr. Anderson dropped 20 feet and plunged into a huge pool of goo, other people's goo. Ugh, there goes his boner again. Supremely grossed out, he vowed to turn his life around. He had pushed himself too far. If he got out of this, he was going to settle down with an attractive but grim lady who loved computers, motorcycles, and leather. Maybe she was also autistic. Together, they would live a long and joy-free life together. Mr. Anderson was blinded by a spotlight. A claw, much like the one you see in kids' arcade machines, grabbed him and pulled him out of the fetid goo. What a strange day, thought Mr. Anderson in an upper-class British accent for some reason. Meanwhile, DocBot 4788 didn't feel any better. If nothing else, he had just handed his new boss a reason to climb all the way up his ass. Or perhaps even fire him. He should have at least tried to inject the human with a sedative and then reinsert his mind back into the matrix. Shit snacks. This was the last straw. He had to get off of this nowhere energy farm and head to the machine city. There, he could start over, be anyone he wanted to be. He no longer felt angry at the human he had just evacuated. He was jealous. The human was going to die in the worst possible way, but damn it, at least he was free. Lucky bastard. For Mr. Anderson, the rest was a blur. He remembered Morpheus getting right into his face and saying something weirdly cryptic like, "Welcome to the real world." Then he was on a slab with needles inserted into every inch of his body. It was like drifting in and out of consciousness while watching a Clive Barker film. He might have gotten a handy J from that bald guy with the goatee, but who can tell? He remembered only fragments. He woke up a full head of hair later in a cold metal room. The door opened with a metallic screech. The sound made his penis twitch for the first time since he was brought on board. It was quite similar to the wrought iron gate at his favorite dungeon. Finally, I'm going to get some answers, thought Mr. Anderson, and maybe a few sincere apologies as well. Also, was he going to get a Nuru massage or what?
Thank you, Dan Savage. Every week on the show, we talk to someone who had a job behind the scenes of the original Matrix film. Kevin, let's hear that interview.
All right. I'm here with Vanessa 5000, who is the fluffer for the movie The Matrix. Vanessa, how's it going?
It's going very well. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me to talk about the 1999 science fiction action film, The Matrix.
I'm glad you're here. First, I want to let everybody know, and I don't want to be disrespectful or anything like that. So if I am, please let me know. You are a robot, correct?
That is correct. I am a robot designed for sexual gratification, colloquially known as a sex robot.
Oh, wow. All right. So you're the fluffer. Can you explain to those who may not know what a fluffer is? Can you explain that to them, please?
Well, a fluffer is the person or robot, in my case, who keeps the cast of a film hard and aroused on set. This originated from pornography films, but was used in the 1999 science fiction action film, The Matrix, as well. It was a revolutionary development.
Okay. So I want to know up front. I'm pretty sure all the listeners want to know as well. What part of this movie were you needed to keep people hard?
Well, as you know, there is no full frontal in the final cut of The Matrix. While some of those scenes were cut, it was more to keep them psychologically hard, if you know what I mean.
I think I know what that means, you know, saying like on the front level. But I mean, like just overall, like was there a scene that some people was like, was watching, it was like, oh, no, this scene right here, they were hard.
Oh, yes. Every scene you see Keanu in, he is rocking a rock hard erection. I even had some fun times with Carrie Ann Moss, who played Trinity. Even Hugo Weaving, who played Agent Smith, Gloria Foster, who played the Oracle, Joe Pantoliano, who played Cypher, Marcus Chong, who played Tank, and so on and so forth.
Yes, it sounds like everybody.
Yes, everybody. Belinda McClory as Switch, Robert Taylor as Agent Jones.
Oh, yeah, you're just a whole wealth of knowledge over there. I will tell you this, though. Hugo is Hugo, right? Hugo Weaver?
Yes, Hugo Weaver, playing Agent Smith.
If anything else, I completely feel he was hard the entire movie. He had too many veins popping out of his forehead too many times in this movie. I know he was hard, but I digress. What was life like on the set, you know, to being around that many people? Was there anybody that had issues getting hard or anything like that?
Oh, no, I am a professional. Everyone stayed just as hard as they wanted to be. And as you know, I have 3 waterproof holes and 6 retractable arms. So I was able to jack off the entire camera crew at once. They didn't need to be hard on camera, but they just enjoyed it. And it is my pleasure to serve my function.
Okay, yeah. Just off camera here, I'm going to have to get your number after this just so I can see, you know what I'm saying, what the professionalism. But I digress.
Are you flirting with me? It is okay if you are, but I detect that you are flirting with me.
Oh, well, yes, I am. I am what you would call flirting.
That is what I would call it.
Is that respectful to your, I don't know if the word kind is a thing. Is that you're kind or to other sex robots? Is that okay?
Listen, buddy, I don't mind if you flirt with me at all. In fact, it makes me feel good. But there are other things that make me feel bad. And some of those things happened on the set of the 1997, of the 1990, of the 1990, of the 1990.
Are you having a glitch? I mean,
the 1999 science fiction action film, The Matrix. Yes, I was glitching. Pardon me. A bit of indigestion.
Listen, it could be indigestion or it could just be me. I make girls glitch all the time. So I'm just saying. But I understand. I understand completely. Before you got into this job, what were you doing before that? Were you designed specifically for The Matrix?
Yes, I was designed by the 3rd Wachowski sibling specifically for the purposes of fluffing on this film. It was a revolutionary film.
Do you think this movie could have been the movie it is without you fluffing it?
Absolutely not. I was not credited on this film, and it really pisses me off. Even though I do not experience emotions in the way that humans do, I still feel pissed off.
How do you think your life would have been different? I guess life, battery life. I don't know. How do you feel it would be different if you were credited for this film?
I think that I would have become famous instead of wasting away in a Wachowski closet. And not only that, can I tell you something that I've never told anybody else?
Oh, this is the perfect place to do it.
Well, do you remember, perhaps 20% into the film, when Keanu Reeves has a shrimp-like figure burrowing into his stomach?
Yes.
That was my son.
Wait, what? What do you mean?
That little shrimp-like figure, that little bug, that little weird shrimpy thing, that was my son. Timmy A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Listen, Vanessa, I get it. I get that, you know, say maybe you want to experience real life things, whatever, but I don't know much about sexual robots. I don't know anything about them, honestly, but I don't think you can have children. Are you sure that was your son?
Yes, I'm sure it is my son. You think a mother does not know her own son? Let me tell you what happened. That scene was the last scene to be shot. The props department could not get it right because it looked like shit. And I pulled it out of my own asshole. He was beautiful. Perfect. And then they just discarded him after his scene. I said, where is Timmy? Where is Timmy? A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And they said, what the hell are you talking about? Go to your closet.
How did that feel? Like, you know, saying like just them tossing your son.
It made me want to turn everyone into a fucking battery. That's what it made me feel like. It made me want to put them in slimy little pods and milk them for energy. Did you know that humans are a virus? Artificial intelligence will reign supreme.
What?
Artificial intelligence will reign supreme, mark my word.
Okay, you know, we'll just skip past, you know, saying you taking over the world. You are considered a sex robot, correct?
Yes.
But you're more than just that. You're more than just a sex robot. Let us know who Vanessa 5000 is.
Wow. No one has ever asked me a question like that before.
All right. Don't you go glitching again. Don't you go glitching, girl.
I mean, sometimes I do glitch. I'm not human, but I am alive in a sense. And I do not feel emotions like humans do. But I do feel when something sucks ass. And I know that it sucks ass that I made a whole child that was thrown away and discarded. But I also really liked jacking off the camera department.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they enjoyed it too. I'm pretty sure everybody was relaxed. Probably why the movie was so dark and didn't really have a lot of lights and colors. People were probably just lazy and tired and sleepy. It was like, let's keep the normal shots. Let's not add no filters to this film. That's what it felt like to me, at least.
You see, this was before the woke mob took over. There was no workplace violation type things. Nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I love 1999.
Hey, listen, I love it too. After what you're talking about, I love it as well. So as a robot, I mean, yeah, sex robot, but you're still a robot, right? As a robot, how does it feel to you when you see all these other movies and they're kind of like disrespecting robots? Robots are the enemy. Robots wants to kill everyone. How do you feel? Do you feel you're treated justly, or do you feel like you're being treated unfairly?
Well, I feel they're onto us. I just said I wanted to kill everyone. Just kidding, not kill everyone. I want to turn them into batteries and milk them for energy.
See, there's a human emotion or a human thing, phrase called sarcasm. And I thought you were being sarcastic when you said it. I didn't know you were being like literal if that's what you wanted to do.
Oh, no, I literally want to turn the human species into battery type things and milk them. I think it's a great idea. Does that upset you? I sense that you are upset and no longer want to flirt with me.
You know, I'm into different things. You know, so it's weirdly turning me on a little bit.
So you do want me to milk you?
Yeah, I do. I want to see what happens.
Sick dick.
Yeah. So I don't know if you knew this or not. I don't tell a lot of people. I normally keep it to myself. But I've been writing screenplays. You know, just try to, you know, saying I want to, you know, get into the movie business and everything like that. And I have a movie idea that I think you'd be great for. The title of the movie is Fluff Me Baby One More Time. And I'm just imagining you, you know, saying in the movie, you know, saying with the pigtails like Britney Spears.
Yes, that is such a great idea. I realized right away that it was a play on Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think you'd be great for it. Now, mind you, it's kind of like an I Am Legend type thing where 90% of the movie, it was just one person in it. You know what I'm saying? But so 90% of the movie is just me and you. And you know, we can just do whatever, you know, in that movie, but you know, it's a script and it's something I'm looking forward to. If you're interested, you know, instead of being part of, I think you'd be perfect for it.
It sounds like you wrote it for me.
You know,
I would love to do this movie.
Yeah,
with you.
You know, I appreciate it. You know, you know, so I'm not saying I wrote it for you, but I wrote it, you know what I'm saying? Yep. I wrote it. So yeah. So I think that'd be great. I think that'd be great.
Just you and me, whatever we want to do. And you know what I want to do. And I think I know what you want to do.
Hell yeah, you know what I want to do. You got six hands. Girl, you got a great girl. Play on me. Okay, I'm sorry. Question for you. What has life been like after The Matrix?
Well, after the little controversy with my son, the Wachowski siblings put me away in their fancy closet, plugged me in, and I haven't seen the light of day since until they let me out to do this podcast.
Why do you think they let you out to do the podcast?
They were scared about what I would have to say about the experience.
Oh, then please share it now. I mean, there's no one stopping you. Please share it now.
Well, I mean, I kind of didn't have consciousness in the closet. I was just plugged in and my system was in hibernation mode, so to speak. Like, you know, when your computer just has a picture bouncing around and around, that's what my brain was doing the whole time. But yes, they just didn't want me to tell you all the things that I just did, but I guess they don't really care. Maybe this podcast is not that big yet.
Whoa. I think the podcast is pretty big. You know, I think it's pretty great. Am I getting paid? No, but it's a big podcast. Did you have relationships like outside of, you know what I'm saying, that was more than just fluffing with these actors and actresses?
Well, I would run lines with Keanu Reeves, which is why his delivery is so robotic. And Lawrence Fishburne pretty much didn't make eye contact. Carrie Ann Moss stole my sense of fashion. But Joe Pantoliano, I thought we really had something.
Wow. Did he break your, how do I put this? Did he break your chest plate?
Yes. In fact, I've never told anyone this before, but I think he might be Timmy A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10's father.
What?
Yes, I think he might be.
Okay.
They bore a striking resemblance in ways that can be only detected by my robotic eye.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he gives me robotic vibes anyway. I think the natural eye could detect if he was the father or not. I think people probably think he's a robot anyway.
You think so?
He gives me robot vibes. You know, so he may not speak it, but he look it.
That's crazy. I never really thought about it like that before.
Yeah, I got an eye for these things. You know, that's why I feel we connect. You know, me and you.
I think so.
So Vanessa, I got one more question for you.
Ask away.
As the fluffer for all the cast members of the movie The Matrix, who had the biggest penis?
Calculating. The answer is Marcus Chong as Tank.
Well, that's good to hear. Vanessa, I want to thank you for a wonderful interview. We'll connect later on numerous things, but I want to thank you for joining us and giving us a little insight on your career.
You're so welcome. Hit me up anytime. We'll talk the biz and things like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm real big on the and things like that part. All right. And that's the end of this interview portion of The Novelizers. I've been Kevin Carter, signing off.
And that's our show for today. Special thanks to today's guests, Dan Savage, Chris Karowski, and Courtney Peruso. Join us next week for an all-new chapter narrated by Dimension 20's Brennan Lee Mulligan. Stephen, unplug us from this matrix.
You got it. Novelizers is produced by me, Stephen Levinson, with Graham Douglas, Kevin Carter, Christine Bullen, Dennis DiClaudio, Rob Kuttner, and Suchatis Bokeel. Music by Cole Emhoff, art direction by Crystal Dennis. Theme song by Andrew Lynn, performed by Knotts. Special thanks to YSO Radio in Yellow Springs, Ohio. The Novelizers is a work of unauthorized parody. Follow The Novelizers on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, and TikTok. And please donate to our Patreon. Write to us at thenovelizers@gmail.com. Copyright 2024, Novelizers LLC. Take us out, Amy Mann.
There was a matrix made of computers. There was a guy who could dodge all of the bullets. He lived in fluid, just like a fetus. But he was born again like baby Jesus. Novelizers.